May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, due to my work schedule, I rarely get to watch live broadcasts of any television program, and I do rely on catch-up. And of course, in this digital age, it has, however, become increasingly impossible not to pick up on spoilers just before I get to sit back and catch up on whatever it is that I do want to catch up on. One particular time that I do remember was in 2019, when Sporting History was made. The legendary song that so many people across this country enjoy singing at times, it's coming home, was indeed actualized. England won the Cricket World Cup. It was impossible not to know what had happened, as the phrase World Cup cricket, Super Over, Ben Stokes were all trending phrases. So while I sat down to watch the match later on that day, I knew what had happened. But more importantly, I knew the final score. I knew who had won. Well, these last few days, there has been a lot of conversation about guarantees. And of course, depending on where you lie on the political divide, we do all want a lasting peace solution. And we do pray today, as European leaders meet in London, that there will be a way forward to peace being known. Well, our gospel reading this morning, that passage that we have read about the transfiguration, gives us a glimpse of the final score, a glimpse of who won, evidence, guarantee that indeed the work of Christ brings freedom, salvation, and victory over death. Our reading this morning from the gospel, from the transfiguration itself, it's like sometimes when you watch a television show and the very first scene, they show you how the show ends. And then a few minutes later, it says 20 years ago. And then the story unfolds from there. But to have a better perspective of what I'm talking about this morning and how this unfolds and the story develops, let us just zoom out a little bit. A few months ago, we celebrated Christmas, a time where God came and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ became human, came and dwelt among us. And on that day, we sing that glorious hymn, and we say, "Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be glory given, word of the Father, now in flesh appearing." And then soon after that, went into Epiphany, time that we do remember Christ being revealed to people of all the nations. And we have people from the East coming to visit Jesus, the Magi, as we refer to them. The Sundays following Epiphany, we get accounts of how Jesus was being revealed to different people groups in his own home country. At the waters of baptism, we hear how the heavens opened up and a voice comes and Christ is revealed as the Son of God. At the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, Jesus performing his first miracle, again being revealed. And again, at the presentation in the temple, Jesus Christ is once again revealed. But of course, the church calendar, as Mike was saying, you know, we were wearing, you know, those beautiful, colorful, you know, robes at Epiphany, and then we switched to green. In some tradition, you know, even that period that we were wearing green is also referred as Sundays after Epiphany. And today is a pivotal moment where we do indeed make that switch, and we move from the crib and we start facing the cross. Today indeed signals that transition From the point where we focus on the incarnation, Jesus becoming one of us, Jesus becoming human, Jesus, God Himself, breaking forth into the world in the birth of Christ, to that Paschal mystery, which culminates with the crucifixion, death, burial, and the ultimate resurrection of the Messiah. So that is the backdrop of all of this. So today, as we read the story about the Transfiguration, this is the backdrop in relation to the liturgical calendar. A few lines before what we read this morning in the Gospel reading, it has a very small phrase, and I do not understand why they took it out, because it's the same verse, verse 28. It says, about 8 days after these events, and then the story continues. Jesus took, you know, the disciples up to the mountaintop to pray. And there is something quite interesting that Luke is probably trying to tell us here, that before we carry on with the reading, maybe we ought to look back and ask ourselves what had happened 8 days before. Well, what had happened 8 days before is Jesus decided to, to ask his disciples, what do people say, who do people say that I am? And of course, the disciples started saying, you know, some say that you're John the Baptist, some say that you're Elijah, some say you are an ancient prophet who has just come from the dead. And then he turns to them and asks them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter makes this bold declaration that indeed you are the Messiah of God. And Jesus takes that up and continues to tell them what would happen to him. That indeed, as we face Jerusalem, as we go down to Jerusalem, the Son of Man will be captured, killed, but on the third day he will rise again. And then we come to this passage where we see Jesus going up to the mountain to pray with three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. As the story goes, as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, transfigured, changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. And then suddenly there appeared these two characters, Moses and Elijah. Moses, of course, representing the law, and Elijah representing the prophets. All these giving a very, very strong message that in this person who is Jesus Christ, both the laws and the prophecies have been fulfilled. What the law has been talking about, Jesus has fulfilled. And what the prophets have been prophesying about, in Jesus Christ, those prophecies are fulfilled. And Peter is, of course, very, very excited. And he says, Master, it is good that we are here. It is absolutely incredible that we are here. And I do love that statement. And sometimes it just makes me to want to sit back and ask myself, how often can we say this statement about the spaces that we all occupy? How often do we say that? It is good that we are here. And for those spaces where we cannot confidently say that word or that phrase, what ought to happen? What can we do so that we can say these words in confidence, as Peter said? But again, as Peter was saying all these things, the cloud comes and a voice is heard from the cloud. This is my son, my chosen, listen to him. And as we prepare ourselves to go into the season of Lent, I would want us to just briefly reflect on what the implications of this whole incident is. Because this is really important. Not only the clear message that in Jesus Christ, the law and the prophecy has been fulfilled, not only because of the conversation that had happened 8 days ago, not only because of the word that came as a cloud descended, that because of the implication that this has to us as Christians today and to the disciples of Jesus as they heard this. Because these words, this incident of the transfiguration, I think it gives the disciples an assurance, again, guarantee, that the person that they left everything for and decided to follow was the real deal. He was not a fraud. He was indeed the Messiah. It had been confirmed to them right there and then that indeed he was the Messiah. It was going to act as something that was going to encourage them when things were going to get tough. In a number of days, a number of weeks, things were going to get tough for the disciples, and they did indeed get tough. Jesus, their leader, their Messiah, ended up being humiliated across the city and ended up being hung up on the cross. But this moment was to them to be an encouragement, giving them a sneak peek of the end, that in as much as difficult times are going to come, they know the end of the story. It was to give them great confidence. This was indeed the spoiler of the whole story, if you would like, because they know how the story ends. That even as death will be coming for Jesus, that will not be the end of Jesus, but the end of death itself. Christ was revealed to them, glorified, lifted up in his own true sense. Glorified Christ. So this incident gave them an assurance, guarantee, gave them great encouragement for the days that were to come ahead, gave them great confidence. But I do pray that God may continue doing the same for us. In this life that we are living, and as we go into the season of Lent, this season of penitence, self-denial, a period of reflection and preparation, that we do not get so lost in all those things that we do need to do, and we forget about what the season of Lent is also about. The preparation for Easter, preparation for that celebration that Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death. And that may ring true in our lives as well. So as we go to Lent, let us go with this great encouragement, this great confidence, this great guarantee that Christ gives us at this passage of the Transfiguration. And of course, the other passage that we did read was the passage about Moses. And again, this is about the glory of God being revealed. And I do like what happens here. And particularly, I do like what Rowan Williams comments about this, because I think it's quite powerful what he says. And he says, looking at God, interacting with God, seriously changes things. It did so for Moses, it did so for the disciples. If we do not want to be changed, it is better not to look at all at Jesus. As we go into Lent, let us keep our eyes on Jesus, that he may transform us, that he may encourage us, that he may grant us confidence that though the road might be tough, he is still going to be with us. But I want to conclude with one famous poem. The road ahead is dark and long, yet I keep walking, feeling strong. Each step a battle, slow and tough, but still I rise. Though life is tough, though life is rough. The weight of doubt upon my chest, but I won't stop, I won't rest. For in the struggle I will grow. Step by step I'll find my flow. The path is winding, full of bends, but I will walk till its end. For every step I take today, I have confidence in the work of Christ. May we have confidence, encouragement, and the guarantee that Christ conquers all. And may we enter Lent in great jubilation, focus on the work of Christ at Easter. Amen.
Amen.